Yea, Lord, yea, Lord, yea, Lord. Yea, Lord, yea, Lord, yea, Lord. Yes, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord, you're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord, you're worthy, Lord. You're so worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord, you're worthy, Lord. Oh, we bless your name, we bless your name. We bless your name, we bless your name. We bless your name, we bless your name. Oh, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy, Lord, you're worthy, Lord. You're so worthy, Lord, you're worthy, Lord. You're worthy. Father God, we just thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you promise to do in the future. We just appreciate you, Lord God. We just ask, Lord God, that you show up and show out today. Touch the hearts and the minds, Lord God, of those that you have drawn into this building, Lord God. Father, answer every question that they have, that their heart has, Lord God. Hallelujah. Give comfort, Father, where comfort is needed, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We pray for wisdom and discernment, for any questions that they have to answer for themselves, Lord God, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Let them run and tell everybody what you have done for them today. We call it done in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All the time. Hallelujah. We've got a communion today right after the message. And then we've got a water baptism. Now, we had two little boys we were going to baptize from the same household, but one of them's sick, so we're not going to baptize either one of them today. You know how it is when you're small, you know. So, no, if you don't do it, I ain't doing it, you know. So, but that's okay. But I think we had Keelan. Is Keelan here? He's upstairs. All right, well, let's let Keelan know. Keelan's supposed to get baptized today. Let him know that when we do communion, that's the time for him to get dressed. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother Johnny, could you let him know that, or? You told him? All right. Okay, so he's ready. Is anyone else that was due to be baptized today that I may not be aware of for some reason? Hallelujah. Had that happen one time. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. So, say what? Is Jeremiah getting baptized today? Jeremiah's daddy. His mama's sick, but his daddy's here. What's that? I hear a voice. He's getting married. All right, so we got two candidates for water baptism today. John, when we go to communion, he could change clothes then and could do it. Just home, folks. Amen? This is just home. We just got to do what we got to do. But listen, we want to thank Reverend Bill and friend Grogan for driving all the way from Richmond just to be in our service today. Amen? Amen. Don't you dare complain about getting up on Sunday morning. Amen? God is good all the time. And what we want to do is pray for you too today. I believe that God's got a word for you guys. It may not come out of our lips, but you'll hear it before you leave here today. Amen. Why don't you just come up, just right here. Hallelujah. We want to call our couple of ministers that are here in the house. What you want? Anointing oil. The coolies. I think Jonathan's in the back, but that's okay. Hallelujah. I want the ministers just to lay hands upon these two today. God's got something special for them. They don't know what it is. Amen. Like none of us know what it is. Miss Delina, can you get behind us, Sister Fran here? Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. You guys just kind of lay hands on these men and women of God. Amen. And let's just pray. Yes. Father God, right now, we just thank you, Lord God, for these instruments that you've placed in the body. Yes, Father God, their heart is asking, all right, which way you want us to go? Left, right, forward, backwards? What do you want us to do? When you want us to do it? How you want us to do it? How long you want us to do it for? Amen. So, Father God, we're in agreement right now that the answer to all those questions right now is being imparted into their hearts, into their minds, right into their spirits, into their souls. Yes, right now, in the name of Jesus, we decree and declare, Lord God, that many, many will be saved through them because of them, Lord God. Yes, so we ask that you continue to use them mightily,
yes, Lord.
Mightily, not only in Richmond, Lord God, but wherever you want them to go.
Yes,
right now, Lord God, nationally and internationally, Lord,
yes,
God.
Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let their names become a household word.
Yes, Lord.
Not for their sake, but for your sake,
yes,
Lord God.
Lord.
And for the gospel's sake, right now,
yes,
in the name,
Lord,
of Jesus. We get it, we do away with all fear.
Yes, right now.
All doubt.
Go.
All unbelief. Hallelujah. Right now, in the name of Jesus, your word said you have not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. Let them receive those three things, Lord. Lord God, abundantly, abundantly, abundantly. Now we agree together that all is well. In Jesus' name, let everybody say amen and amen and amen. God bless you too. Amen. Thank you. Amen. God is good all the time. All the time. He is good. He is good. Is Sherry Johnson here today? Hallelujah. She's not here today. Hallelujah. Sherry Johnson, I didn't see you. Come on up here. God say pray for you today. Hallelujah. Miss Eva. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has allowed Sherry to come back in our midst. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Sherry, what you're going to have to do is believe God. All right? You've got plans, but God's got plans. Are you with me? You've got plans. You've got them all mapped out in your heart how it should go. But God's got plans. All right? Your only participation in this whole thing is trusting God. Can you do that? Just trust God. God says it's going to be all right.
Amen.
Don't go by what your eyes see or what your ears hear. It's going to be all right. All right?
Amen.
Don't buck nothing. Don't fight nothing. All right? Don't cause any gap between anybody.
Amen.
All right? Just get on your knees and say, what do you want me to do? And what you got a piece, just let it roll. Just let it roll with it. All right? God ain't finished with you yet.
Amen.
Let's just pray. Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for Sister Sherry, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you that your hand is upon her and all those that's in her sphere of influence, Lord. We agree together that all is well. All is well. All is well. She shall reach the destiny, Lord God, that you've already appointed for her and for her life. Father, we understand that she don't know where you're trying to take her and what you're trying to do. But Father God, we know that she loves you. We know that she trusts you, Lord God, right now. And we agree together that every day and every way that level of trust doubles.
Yes, Lord.
Right now. So we're in agreement today, Lord God, that she'll be in the right place at the right time.
Yes,
hearing and doing the right thing, which leads to believing the right thing. Now we agree together once again that all is well in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God's got you.
All
right. Come on. Give God some praise, folks. God's got you, Sister Sherry. Hallelujah. 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 Sister Sherry, let me give you this before I forget it here, because today is, this is yours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know your pastor. You saw my birth certificate, so you understand. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. All the time. You know, we got to pray when God say pray. Amen?
Yes, amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. God's got a thing going on.
Yeah.
Let me get my notes here, right? God is good. I want to thank each and every one of you for your obedience to God. If you're here today, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has brought you here for such a time as this. Today, we want to talk about prayer just a little bit. And I want to bring up my grandmother again. I always bring her up because, you know, when you're there as a child, you don't appreciate nothing. And you sure don't appreciate people. You really don't. You really don't. So I have to give her her accolades now. I think she would have been about 98, Miss Eva, if she's still alive. She would have been about 98. Well, she was 98 then? Okay, hallelujah, praise the God. But listen, you gotta hear my story. We're going to talk about prayer today. Is that all right?
Yes.
Now, you know, out of 15 kids, you know, my mom's had 15 kids. God had me at 1 year old be handed across the fence to a lady, all right, that thought her son was my dad, who really wasn't. But that's irrelevant, all right? But the lady... when she took me in, you need to understand, at 9 years old, she started working because her mom died. So she never got any education. She couldn't read. She couldn't write. All right? But she had, now God has given her this little baby. All right? Just this little baby to take care of at 1 year old. Are you with me? And then right after he gave it to me, or gave her to me, or give, you know what I'm saying. But after he gave me to her, a couple years later, her husband died. He was a longshoreman. So now she's left alone. She's left alone with this baby. Can't read, can't write. So if she does any work, it'll be house cleaning and, you know, whatever. You know, whatever you can get to do to survive. But she was a fighter. She was a survivor. She was. Somewhere along her walk, she found God. She found God. She found him actually before she got me, but she found God. And if there anybody was a believer, it was this woman. You know, she didn't have a lot of money, didn't have a lot of education, that kind of stuff. But one thing she had was her secret weapon. Amen. Prayer.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
She had her secret weapon. Now, she probably would never have termed that way. But this was a praying lady. She's a praying lady every day. You, like I say, you could hear sometime late at night I'm there praying. Most of the time praying for me. And her prayers work wonders. Work wonders. Work wonders. Work wonders. When I should have went to juvenile home for stealing out of the grocery store so many times, people just turned their head and let that boy just out the door. Never had to go to that route. Never had to do those kind of things. You know? All kinds of things. I remember one incident, and I'm just sharing this with you. You don't mind me sharing this stuff, right? I remember I lived in one housing project in New Orleans. That's where poor people live. And I found a girl, I met a girl on the other side of town in another housing project. And I took a bus and went on over there. And when I got there, I found out she had another boyfriend. And he was big. Now, you got to understand, the guys in the project didn't play with that. They would do you in badly. 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 So I got off the bus, went to this girl's house, and who did I find? I found this great big giant. Say, what do you want? And I told him, I come to see X number or whatever. He said, no, you don't. He said, listen, and I'm expecting this guy to just start stumping me and beat me up badly. But he said, you know what you need to do? You need to go get back on the bus. Now, I didn't argue with that. I went on and get back on the bus. But I know the thing that kept me from getting a severe beating that day was grandma's prayers.
Amen.
See, that prayers was her secret weapon. And this could be your secret weapon once you understand the power of prayer.
Amen.
It's hallelujah. I got so many stories. I was telling my grandson the other day about how I was in the Navy, and I was on an aircraft carrier. Everybody know what aircraft carrier is? Everybody know how big aircraft carrier is? We're out there in the ocean, there is no light. You can't even see your hand in front of your face. But one night I fell off the side of an aircraft carrier. Now, let me tell you something. You don't want to do that. If somebody saw you fall, you know, it takes forever to turn that thing around and go back where you're at. Most of the time, if somebody sees you fall, then they'll haul out, man overboard, and they'll launch the helicopter, and the helicopter will get to you before the ship will get to you. But nobody yelled nothing. Here I am, a little sailor. I fell off the side of an aircraft carrier. But just so happened, hallelujah, everybody say just so happened.
Just so happened.
There was a net. There's nets on the side of the aircraft carrier, but they're not one long net. There might be a net here, and about 100 yards down here, there's another net. So I fell just where there was a net. I don't know how long I was in that net. Nobody hear you. You're just hollering and screaming, you know, till somebody comes along, you know, the catwalk and hear somebody saying something, you know. But I know the only reason, listen, see, let me tell you something. You have a plan. You have a destiny. You didn't just show up on planet Earth
Amen.
Because somebody was in love. Come on.
Amen.
You have a destiny. And the devil is going to do everything he can to try to stop that destiny from taking place.
Amen.
So that devil said, no, I'm going to get rid of this little Dan because I know a husky is part of the plan.
Amen.
So we don't get him when he's 17, 18. So he'll never reach a husky. But what he didn't know is I had a praying grandma.
Amen.
Amen,
amen.
And she had a secret weapon. She had a secret weapon. Tried to kill me twice in Vietnam. Hallelujah. But she praying over my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Tried to hurt me bad down there in that Mexico jail. Hallelujah. But I had a praying grandma.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Huh?
Amen,
amen. See, we don't know who we are or what we got. I believe she's praying right now in heaven. And I believe she's saying, Lord, help that boy. So you don't appreciate all that stuff. You don't even know it when you're a kid. You don't understand what's going on. But the power of God still goes. Still goes. So I don't know how many things that secret weapon got me out of as a young man. I just don't know. Sitting in the bar one night, and one guy came up to me with a big old 45. Put it right here. Say, I'm going to kill you because you got my money. I say, man, I don't know you, and I ain't got your money. This is one of those stupid, crazy men. Don't mind shooting anybody. But what he didn't know is I had a praying grandma. Praying grandma. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, the guy said, maybe you're not the one. Now, you think the boy was scared? The boy was scared. You ever had a 45 push out your head?
No.
See, that secret weapon, hallelujah, will not only protect you, but protect your loved ones, protect everybody in your sphere of influence.
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. It's time for the body of Christ to rise up.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord.
that secret weapon is something else, but you got to use it. You guys, what's the use of being to having a big stick if you ain't willing to use it? You gotta use it.
Amen.
You just gotta use it. I want to talk with you just a little bit today about the fact that power belongs to you. Hallelujah. I understand it now. See, if you look back in your life, see, somebody probably was praying for you and got you out of a whole bunch of stuff too, but you just didn't know it.
Amen.
You thought it was luck. You thought it was coincidence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise God. All you got to do, talk to my kids. Hallelujah. All four of them. You talk to them. They tell you all the stuff they shouldn't have gotten out of, but somebody was praying for them.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Somebody was praying for them. They'll probably tell you about it now. Hallelujah. They probably wouldn't have told you about it that when it was happening. But that's good to have that secret weapon. And to know what you got. See, now I know what I got.
Amen.
As a kid, I didn't know. I didn't understand. I thought like everybody else. Well, I got through that one. No, that secret weapon got you through that one. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. Sometimes I ask God, I say, God, why you want to use me? He said, because you didn't been through it. You could tell somebody about it. Amen. This is real life. This is real life. We're not born perfect and we never get to the perfection stage. So all of us go through some things in our lives. God said, today I want you to understand that you have a secret weapon that has power with it, and that power belongs to you. Look at somebody and tell them that power belongs to you.
That power belongs to you.
Let me just start off with 2 Corinthians. I'm going to just share a few verses with you. Now, the whole time we're with you this morning, I'm going to just be giving you the word of God. All right? I'm going to just give you all kinds of verses. There's so much in my heart. You don't want to hear all that stuff, but listen, you need to know what God is saying. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5, this is what it says. And I'm using the ESV version. It says, though we walk in the flesh like natural human beings, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Strongholds that put there by who? By the devil. Listen, you may not know your plan, and the devil's not absolutely sure of all the details of your plan, but he knows that the hand of God is upon you. He's going to be trying to stop you with his strongholds. But the power that's in you, that's available to you, is stronger than any stronghold that he want to put in your life.
Amen.
And then in verse 5 ends this way. He says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. You got a secret weapon, folks. Amen. Now, this weapon is not designed for you to win the lottery. Or for you to steal somebody's spouse. Or you to get away with anything illegal, immoral, or whatever. It's not designed for that. It's a spiritual warfare designed to counteract any attacks that you get from the devil. Don't you think for a moment that the devil won't take you out of here if he could.
Amen.
Or your loved ones. Or your loved one. Many people have gone on the other side simply because nobody knew how to protect them spiritually. James 5 and 16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray. Everybody say pray. And pray for one another. Talking to the church. He said, why? That you may be healed. You got that secret weapon. Listen, you are not a beggar. You're a child of God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You don't have to put up with some of the stuff the devil throws your way.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I told you before. Now, you might wake up tomorrow, you know, your back hurting, your knee hurting, or whatever. Speak to it.
Amen.
We say, how long? Till it's gone.
Yeah.
Till it's gone.
Amen.
And then that scripture goes on and says, the prayers of a righteous person. Uh-oh, now he's throwing some other stuff here now. What are you saying here? Look, a righteous person. And my thought and my words to you, if you're going to be saved, be saved.
Amen.
Be saved. Be led by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Live a righteous life. Because these promises, listen, and this power operates through righteous people, not confessing saved people who are doing all kinds of ungodly stuff. Hallelujah. The prayers of a righteous person has great power as it is working. If you're a righteous person, which simply means you're following the will and the way and the word of God, that's all that means. It doesn't mean you're perfect. It means that you're following the peace that God uses to direct your life. If that's you, then this power belongs to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is something else. You know, I've been here, what, 33 years? I don't know how long I've been here. I've been here a long 36 years, almost 37 years. Now, in this 37-year period, don't you think for a moment I haven't had some enemies? I'm going to tell you, amen? Did I do anybody anything? Not that I know of. But there's a devil, folks. There's a devil. But you know, in those 36 years now, I've watched a handful of folks just go away from here simply because they messing with me. You say, are you all that? No, I'm not all that. But I know how to pray. I know God don't want me to get all uptight and be mad with them and, you know, to the point where I can't even leave them to the Lord. He said, no. So what I do, I just pray. Listen, and I use three words. I say, Lord, handle that. Lord, handle that, please. He got you. I'm telling you what I know. I'm telling you a fact. I've seen people go away from here. There was one lady giving me such a hard time, because I was over a sum of money, for government money, and I was over the money, and she wanted some of it, and she just bugged me and slandered me and all kinds of stuff. Even got a state senator to call me. Now I don't know why he called me, because I'm going to do what's right.
Amen. That's what I do always.
Amen.
I look around and the lady was dead. And the state senator went to prison. Now I didn't will that. But I did ask God to handle that. Are you with me? Do you really understand what I'm saying to you today? That prayer is a powerful weapon.
Amen.
I wouldn't will anybody to die. And I sure wouldn't will anybody to go to prison. But when you start messing with the righteous people, and the righteous people start praying, huh? We don't know what we got, folks. I want to give an example from Acts chapter 12 where Herod thought he was somebody. He thought he was somebody because he had a position. The church was rising up, and before you know it, he thought he was going to please the people by rising against the church. Messed around here and killed James, and oh, Lord, the whole bunch of folks was happy about that, and he thought he had something going on. But let's look and see what the scripture says here. See, the devil is constantly doing everything he can to vex the children of God. But you got a secret weapon, a powerful weapon, powerful weapon. If anything ever gets to the point where you can't handle it, you say, Lord, please handle that. Now, when you say that, you got to think as a parent thing. Your four-year-old come in there and say, look, that nine-year-old out there, he keep picking on me, picking on me. Now, you don't expect a four-year-old to fight the nine-year-old, but you're going to handle that. As a parent, one way or other, you're going to handle that. If you got to go to their parent and deal with it or whatever, but you're going to handle that. And Lord knows if it's a teenager messing with your four-year-old, you may not have to deal with no parents. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? So when you tell or ask God to handle it through your prayers, God looks at you as his little child and says, I'm tired of the enemy vexing you with this. Let me handle this. The devil doesn't have any real power. I want you to understand that. But he's a good bluffer. He'll take your, you know, like a bully in school, he'll just take your little mess because you give it over to him. He don't really have any real power. Hallelujah. At all. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. He says, about that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He going to destroy the church. How are you going to destroy the church with all these praying folks? And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. See, he really thought he was doing something. Now, you got to understand, this is not Herod. This is the devil working through Herod. God had initiated his church, and the devil said, I'm going to bust it up. I'm going to break it up. I'm going to tear it down. I'm going to get the people to do my work, starting with Herod. In verse 3, and when Herod saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Now, you got to understand as you read this story, the church was brand new. The disciples really didn't probably, and I'm saying probably, they probably didn't really understand the level in which these people would go to destroy the church. So I believe initially there really wasn't a big prayer movement. But then James got killed. And then Peter got arrested. Mm-hmm. I think somebody in the crowd said, oh, we better pray. Oh, yes, we better pray. And it says in verse 3 again, and when Herod saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized Peter, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads, hallelujah, of soldiers to guard one man. Four squads, intending what? Intending that after the Passover, to bring him out to the people and do what with him? And do the same thing he did with James. Kill him. But you know what was happening? Folks were praying. After they saw what happened to James, and then they saw Peter get arrested, they said, we better pray. We better pray. Prayer is a secret weapon, and it belongs to you. All the power that goes with that secret weapon belongs to you. I want you to hang on to that thing today. You don't have to put up with any of the foolishness that the devil throws your way through people. Through people. Just get on your knees and say, Lord, please handle that. Huh? See, the devil hate for you to start praying that way. You don't have to beg God. Just tell him. Yeah, look, they're annoying God. Please handle that. God may not kill everybody, you know, but he may put them out of the way of you so they won't bother you. I don't know what he'll do. The devil tries to bound us with his strongholds to make sure that we can't get out of his custody. Four squads of soldiers? You want to make sure that you don't lose this one. In verse 5, so Peter was kept in prison, but look at this. I don't want you to miss this. But earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Earnest prayer. What does that mean, preacher? That means they didn't stop praying. They were praying not only with their lips, but with their hearts, with their soul, very soul. Listen, they prayed like they've never prayed before. Not, see, they did not understand really what they had, but they were praying. God said they're exercising that power of prayer, and I've got to hear it. I've got to hear it. You need to understand that there's power in prayer. We don't just pray to pray. We don't just pray as a traditional habit. As something what we do when we get scared. No, there's power in the prayer. And you should never pray anything that you don't want to see come about. So watch your thoughts. Watch your heart. Watch your lips. The Bible says earnest prayer. You see, we have to learn to pray until we see some results. These people, I believe, didn't stop praying. They were all gathered in one house. Hallelujah, praying. And that's what they're saying. Lord, you got to handle this. They didn't know what to say or how to say it, just like you and me. A lot of times we don't know what to say. Amen. You ever been concerned about a child of yours that was far away? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I told John about John. Said, yeah, I can use his testimony whenever. Jonathan was down there in Atlanta sleeping in his car. Too embarrassed to tell us he's sleeping in his car. Amen. I wasn't going to do nothing anyway. I let him sleep in that car. Amen. But one thing I knew that he was out of place. I knew that he was out of place. He was somewhere he had no business being. So what we did was we prayed. Said, Lord, handle that. Handle that. Handle that. Handle that. Before we knew it, God had provided a place for him to stay with a relative. And then before we knew it, because we constantly prayed, Jonathan was calling us about going to Bible school. Say, is this the same guy? Prayer. Prayer. Powerful weapon. Powerful. Powerful weapon. Hallelujah. So we have to learn to pray until we see some results, knowing that the weapons of our warfare are mighty. God's not going to play with our feelings. If he said it's a weapon, a mighty, powerful weapon, we need to use it and not be timid about using. We have to become conscious of the fact that we're fighting a common enemy. It's not people. See, the devil will send people to you, and then you get mad at the people. You know we do it, right? I dare say that to me. I dare. Come on, bro. It's not that man or that woman. It's the devil. The devil has found a way into those people's lives, and he's using them. So you need to be praying for their deliverance instead of getting all huffy and puffy. You know how we do? I'm going to get back with you. No. You ain't getting back with nobody because it's the devil. Somebody say amen to that. We have to stop talking about our brothers and sisters and start praying for them. When people are starting to act abnormally, we know something wrong here. They're not attacking you. There's something wrong here. There's something wrong. So we need to learn how to start just interceding and praying and using that power for them. You just say, but they say, let me tell you, Romans 3:23 says what? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hallelujah. If you're not careful, the enemy will slip up in your life and start using you. Let me go on with this story out of Acts chapter 12 with Herod and Peter. In verse 6 it says, now when Herod was about to bring him out. Now we already saw what the people was doing, earnest prayer. He said when he was about to bring him out on that very night that Herod was about to pull Peter out. And you know he was going to do him harm. It says Peter was sleeping. Look at this. Sleeping between two soldiers, one on each side. Bound with two chains. And God, they call them sentries, guards before the door were guarding the prison. Two soldiers, one on each side. Hallelujah. Two chains. And guards inside and outside of the door. You think your situation is impossible. Come on now. In the natural, nowhere in the world that we would know any kind of a way Peter can get out of this. How you going to get out of this, Peter? You got people sleeping on each side of you, guarding you. Guarding you. You got two chains on your body. Where you going? Everybody say, but God. See, when you tap into that prayer, that secret weapon that you got, hallelujah, all the things that appear to be impossible become possible.
Amen.
For God. Hallelujah. The Bible said the very night the man was going to pull him out and kill him, there were some folks with earnest prayer. They didn't even understand. I know that they did not know that Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. They did not know that Peter had two chains on him. They did not know that there was a guard in front of the door and behind the door. They didn't know. All they knew was that Herod was crazy. And he was trying to destroy the whole church.
Yes.
So we're going to pray.
Yes.
Amen. Amen? We're going to pray. They didn't understand that they were releasing the power from that secret weapon. They didn't understand that. Not at all. Look at verse 7. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to Peter, and a light shone in the cell. The angel struck Peter on the side and woke him up, saying, get on up quickly, brother. And the very first thing that happened, listen, and the chains fell off his hands. How'd that happen? You can't explain that to me how that happened. I can't explain it to you how it happened other than the fact, hallelujah, that those disciples had a secret weapon. Whether they understood the effects, the power of it or not, they were basically saying, Lord, you handle this. And God come in there between all those soldiers. And the Bible said the chains fell off his hand. See, our prayers, brothers and sisters, listen to me now. Our prayers would cause ministering angels to be sent to set our loved ones and our church members free from the strongholds and the bondages of the enemy. See, the enemy think they got them. You know, I got it. I got you now. I may not have you, but I got your son, your daughter. Come on, your niece, your nephew, your cousin, your grandma, your grandpa. Come on. All the power that you possess. That secret weapon. Hallelujah. That's why I'm telling you, listen, when you pray, you declare it's happening. You got somebody that's in bondage to strongholds. You just speak to those strongholds and get out of here. Let him loose. Be free. Let that person loose in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't God good?
Amen.
All the time. Look, let's go back to that story in verse 8. And the angel said to him, talking to Peter, come on, Pete, dress yourself and put on your shoes. And he did so. And he said to him, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And he went out and followed him. Now, it said, look, even Peter, he didn't understand what was going on. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. See, we've got so much religion in us that our religious attitude, now the religious habits bound us up. We don't believe, listen to me, we don't believe. We just don't believe. If we had a famine in our life and our refrigerator was empty, listen, we don't believe that we can go to that empty refrigerator, listen, speak to it, shut the door, come back 5 minutes later, open the door, and the refrigerator is full. You know you ain't eating that food. You ain't eating that food. Somebody trying to get me. That's how we think. Peter said, got to be a vision. No, Peter, there ain't no vision. It's the power of prayer.
Amen.
It's the power of prayer.
Amen.
Are you with me? It's the power of prayer. Oh, God. See, many times we don't pray because we don't expect the supernatural to happen. All that this ministry has done has been supernatural.
Amen.
All of it. I mean, every last bit of it has been supernatural. It's been supernatural. I don't have to know what I'm doing. God knows what he's doing.
Amen.
Amen. And all I got to do is pray and say, what do you want me to do next? And that's all you got to do. And say, what do you want me to do next? And just forget about all the disillusions and all that crazy stuff that's going on around you. Just say, what do you want me to do next? Because God's plan, I guarantee you, is a lot bigger than your plan. A lot bigger than your plan. Hallelujah. And when things does happen, we're looking for, when the supernatural happened, rather, we're looking for natural reasons to explain what God is doing for us. It's just like that refrigerator I just talked about. You come back and it's full, and you be saying, yeah, I bet the next door neighbor put that in there. I guess my long lost son and my long lost daughter, they came in the middle of the night and they filled it up because they felt sorry. We just won't believe in the supernatural. We just won't believe in the miracle. Simply because we can't do it in the natural, we just forget the fact that God can do it.
Amen.
He can do this thing.
Amen.
The power is yours, folks.
Amen.
The power is yours. Ephesians 3:20 says, as a matter of fact, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think. You can't even think of something so big that God can't do. Our minds just won't operate that way. Amen? I don't know what it is we thought we would get when we got saved. See, most of us, when we get saved, we're just tired of whatever we're doing, and we know we don't want to go to hell. So if you just give me that, I'm good. But you got that. You got that. You got deliverance from hell. You got that. You also got a Savior, a Lord, that'll guide you every single day. But power comes with that salvation. Power comes with that. We talked last week about Popeye and his spinach. Popeye's power was in his spinach. Won't we use this power that God has given us? Why don't we start decreeing and declaring some things in our prayers? And when you know they're beyond your natural ability to handle, just say, Lord, please handle this. I've never once seen him turn any of us down.
Amen.
God is a good God all the time. Let's get back to our story with Herod, because this is important. Verse 10, when they had passed the first and the second God, this is Peter and the angel, okay? When they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord. Supernatural. Why? Because people were doing earnest prayer somewhere for this guy.
Amen.
And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. He's free now. He ain't got to worry about it. And verse 11 said, when Peter came to himself, he said, now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. The power of prayer will blow your mind. The devil wants you to be all upset. You know, when we get upset, we don't think well. You think crazy thoughts. He wants you to be all discomposed so that he can just further trick you into doing or saying or believing something that you shouldn't. But if we have faith in God and just pray,
yes,
and just realize that there's power in that prayer.
Yes.
Amen. Look, God has given dominion to man. To man. So when a saved man or saved woman, you know, go to God and through prayer, That power is exercised. It's let loose. Don't think that you're doing something that you said I'm supposed to do. The power belongs to you. It belongs to you. Peter thought that he was dreaming, but he wasn't, because it was so beyond what he could normally believe. What is it that you need to believe God for today? What? Think about it just for a second, 10 seconds. What is it that you really want to believe God for? Is it a lost relative? You know what I mean? Lost spiritually? Is there a lost relative? Is it finances? Is it healing in your body? Whatever, what is it, a job? Is it a business? What do you need to believe God for? Let's start releasing that power in prayer. Hallelujah. And just ask God, say, God, help me with this. And you just decree and declare that it's a done deal. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. Have I stopped praying for my children? God knows not. I'm going to pray and pray and pray until I see the full manifestation of whatever it is God's got planned for their lives. Every day. I'll be like my praying grandmother saying, Lord, save that child. You can have what it is you want. As long as it lines up with the will and the way and the word of God, you can have that. Verse 12. Now, I know this is a little bit long, but God said, give him the whole thing. When he realized this, when Peter realized he wasn't dreaming, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many, come on now, here it is, where many were gathered together. What were they doing? Praying. Hallelujah. Praying. Now, for the last 2 years, every day of the week, we've been praying. Those that have come on the phone line for 15 minutes for 2 years straight, haven't missed a day. You know, 15 minutes at 7 o'clock in the morning. And I know that there's been a lot of manifestation of things change as a result of that gathered prayer every day. So as long as God tells us to do it, we're going to keep doing it, you know, in that form, in that fashion. But they were gathered together and they were praying over at John Mark's mother's house. And the Bible goes on in verse 13, it says, and when Peter knocked on the door at the gate of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer, realizing Peter's voice. Now, Peter is supposed to be locked up. They know that Herod's going to kill him in the morning. They know that. So the last person they expect to see, it's like looking in that refrigerator and it's full. The last person they expected to see was Peter. Can't be Peter. You know how many guards Herod's got? Peter can't whip all those folks. Can't be. Recognized his voice in her joy. She did not open the gate, but she ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate because she didn't believe. And she went and told folks, Peter's at the gate. In verse 15, they said to her, you are out of your mind. It's like that refrigerator. You go back and tell your spouse, look, the refrigerator's full. I know what that spouse would say. You are out of your mind. We just saw the refrigerator empty. Now you come and run in the living room talking about it's full. Something wrong with you. And that's what they were saying to Rhoda here. Something wrong with you, Rhoda. But she kept insisting that it was so. And they kept saying, well, maybe it's his angel, because we know he's dead now. Maybe it's his ghost. But last verse, verse 16. But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened, they saw him, and they were amazed. Hallelujah. See, Christians have always been amazed at the power of prayer. But we don't have to be. It's a normal thing in God's eyesight. What we need to do is start utilizing that power. And believe. You got to believe. When you pray, believe. Don't let any doubt set in there. I'm going to show you in a minute some promises that God has made to you. That look, whatever you pray about, he's going to do this thing. He's just going to do it. Let me share with you just a couple of verses about the prayer of Jabez. Remember Jabez? Amen. That also demonstrates the power of prayer. Just two verses. 1 Chronicles 4 and 9. Say, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. The word Jabez means born in pain. How'd you like to carry that around with you all your life? That's what it means. Hallelujah. Now, verse 10, the last verse. Say, Jabez, listen, I know that things didn't go right for Jabez most of his life. You go around and people calling you born in pain. Born in pain. Come here, born in pain. Born in pain. I know he didn't have the fellowship that he probably needed and deserved. I know that things didn't physically, financially, or otherwise go right for Jabez. I know that. But you know what Jabez did? Jabez prayed. Look at the last verse 10. It says, Jabez called upon the God of Israel. Call upon the God of Israel. What was he doing? Praying. Praying. Saying, this was his prayer. Oh, that you would bless me. And enlarge my borders. You know what that means? Give me a whole bunch of more stuff. Enlarge my borders. And that your hand might be with me. You know what that means? Everywhere I go, things ain't going to work out well. Because you're with me. Everything I touch is going to be blessed. And that you would keep me from harm. That means nobody's going to take my mess. And that I'm going to be all right. So that it might not bring me what? Pain. Because up to now, God, everything that has happened in my life has brought me pain. Because I am Jabez, born in pain. Now, the significant part of this whole verse is the last part of this sentence. Say, Jabez prayed, but it also says, and God granted what he asked. Ha! He said, bless me. Give me a whole bunch of stuff. Be with me everywhere I go. Keep anybody from doing me any harm. Come on. And God granted what he asked. What have you asked God for lately in your prayers? What? Are you just sitting around wishing and hoping that things just materialize or show up the way you want them to show up or whatever? Prayer changes things. Jabez prayed, according to that scripture. He prayed. And he prayed specifically. Why? Because he knew what he wanted God to do. Do you know what you want God to do? Do you know what changes you want to come into your life? God has given you this secret weapon called prayer. Let's start using it. Let's start calling those things that be not as if they are. Let's start doing it. Why not? Why not? The devil don't want us to do that. Because the devil will come to you and say, you know you are nobody. You know you can't make anything happen. You need to look him right in the face and say, no, I cannot. But I got a secret weapon. I got a secret weapon. If you keep messing with me, amen, I'm going to pull it out. He don't want you to have those type of successes in your life. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. There's power in prayer. See, many times we don't exercise this power because we just don't believe that God will do it for us. We don't. We don't even pray about it. We'll say, well, we'll just see what he does. No, God said, use that weapon. It's a powerful, secret weapon. Hallelujah. God, we need to be reminded that God has promised to answer our prayers. And the Bible said God is not a man that he should lie. So if he said it, you can bank on it. I want to close this short message out today with just sharing a few promises that he's given us in his word. Just a few. Second Chronicles, especially about asking him. Second Chronicles 7:14. Familiar passage. It says, if my people who are called by my name just humble themselves. And what?
Pray.
And what?
Pray.
Pray. Pray. Pray. See, we have this mentality, well, if something's wrong and God knows it's wrong, then he'll just fix it. You don't understand the power that he's given us. He's given it to us. So he's got to go through us. So you've got to voice it. You've got to voice it through prayer. Say, if my people are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Whatever's wrong, I'll heal it. I'll heal it. I'll heal it. Amen. Somebody say, power of prayer belongs to me. And then in Psalms 91:15, he says, when he calls to me, this is God talking. When he calls to me, when you call to God, he says, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. Isaiah 65:24, another promise. He says, before you call, I will answer. God already knows what's in your heart, what you want to voice out, but you got to voice it out to him. He said, before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. Luke 11:9 says, and this is Jesus talking in the flesh. He says, and I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. That's a promise. That's a promise. Everybody say, the power of prayer belongs to me. And then in John 15:7, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you got to get in that word. See, you got to get in that word till you start believing that word. Just reading it doesn't mean you believe it. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. This is Jesus speaking. And what would be the results? He says, and it will be done for you. Oh, we could talk about that all week. And then in Psalms 55:17, he says, evening and morning and at noon, this is God talking, I utter my complaints and moan, and he hears my voice. This is someone talking to God. God will hear your voice. Amen. Let everybody say, the power of prayer belongs to me.
The power of prayer belongs to me.
There's power in prayer, brothers and sisters, and it does belong to you. I want you to let prayer become a way of life for you as a child of God.
Amen.
God has promised to answer your prayers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before we observe Holy Communion this morning, I want to just pray. There may be somebody here that has not, because see, I've been talking to the saved folks. If you're here, listen to me now. If you're here and you're not saved, don't you dare try to go up against the devil. You're going to be in deep something. But if you're here today, you can have that. You can have not only what we call salvation, but you can have that power that comes through prayer as a child of God. If you're here today and you're not saved, I want to pray with you. Just raise your hand if you're here. Once again, hallelujah. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're saved, brother. You've been saved twice. You're good. Anyone else? Anyone else? Let's not say. Yes, sir. Wanting what?
The whole package.
Yes, sir. Come on up here, man. Come on up here. You heard what he said?